I like to walk around, so I like to be able to escape. Oh, so evening, I want to say evening, royal sons and daughters of the king. I just really felt to speak that over you because that's what you are. You really are. When we were worshiping, thank you, Ben, it just, oh, I felt just like my heart was so full just being able to make so much of the name of Jesus. And in worship, it was just so epic to help to do that. It's almost like I felt... I actually just want to stand and just say Jesus all night instead of saying all these words on this page because his name is really powerful. His name saves, his name heals, his name delivers, and it's so awesome. He's not the one who heals, he is the healer, and he is the provider, and he is the savior. That's who he is. He's so great. And I saw a picture of, I saw him come and a red sheet like thing, like it came over us. And then after it's a purple one, and I just felt on his heart him wanting to say, because of the blood that was shed for you, you're now royalty. You're kings and priests. You're a royal priesthood, not just ordinary people. And I just felt his heart really wants his people to know that. So those of you maybe walking around thinking, I've failed God, I've missed it. He's saying tonight, you are royalty. You can lift your head up high because you're a son and a daughter of the King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. I just want to encourage you with that. And yeah, I'm so excited. I'm privileged to be able to minister to the millennials. For those who missed Jerome Ocampo's incredible word a few weeks ago, the 35 and under, yeah, you millennials, apparently. And apparently there's a major calling on your life for global revival. So it's a privilege to be able to minister the word to those who are going to bring global revival. Apparently you guys think very fast and move very fast, and so I hope I'm fast enough for you this evening. But it really is a privilege, and I'm very excited that I pray for the Lord specifically for this group. Like, what does he want to, what is something that he wants to just give to you before I start, just as a word? And I felt him showing me, firstly, that you guys are keys, very significant keys, but keys between, he showed heaven, and he showed earth, and he showed doors between heaven and earth. And I felt him say that you're keys, that in the places where you live in the city and work in the city, you're going to unlock those doors that bring heaven and earth together where you are. And he actually gave me the scripture in Psalm 85, verse 8 to 12, just to encourage you to, even though you're not necessarily seeing anything right now where you work, and I really want to honor you guys. I know that you're a people who, people sound so weird, like brothers and sisters, who really live for the kingdom first. I just see it. I just hear in the conversations when I've been around to some of the small groups. You want to see the kingdom come in your workplaces. I hear it all the time, and I want to honor you for that. And I just want to encourage you with this scripture from Psalm 85, just to not give up hope. Oh, I'm shaking because the Lord is so good. Okay, he created shakes. All right, Psalm 85, verse 8 to 12. I will listen to what the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants. But let them not turn to folly. Just keep on with what the Lord is calling you to do. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. So I just encourage you to remain faithful. Okay. All right. And that actually brings me to just the main message. It's many messages, amazing. And that is stay. All right, that's one word. And I want to leave with you tonight is stay. So whatever the Lord is doing, just stay with him, okay? Even though it doesn't make sense, or you're not necessarily seeing already now what he's promised, stick with him, stay with him. Okay, those discipleship relationships that you're in, stay there, stay there. Stay with the people you're discipling. You know, sometimes that's all we need to do. We think we need to do all these amazing things and have this amazing wisdom. And really a lot of the time, all we need to do is just stay. Just stay with what God's doing. Okay? Stay connected to the body. When you're spending time with him, sometimes we just need to not do much. We just need to stay in his presence. That's something I'm learning to do. Sometimes just sit on the floor in his presence and just stay there. Just don't go anywhere. And not just physically go anywhere, not go into my mind. Just stay connected. All right, stay in your prayer closet. All right. Stay in your calling. Just stay. Even though it's confusing or it's up and down, a lot of the times it's about the staying. It's that faithfulness in staying that will yield the harvest. And I want to just give you a few things to help you in the staying because it does get rough at times. And I've got a little picture up here. I want to say that the kingdom is it's an ultra marathon. Okay, it's not a sprint, and I want to hopefully give you some, refuel you a bit tonight with some endurance and some faith to continue in the staying. Okay, it's the reason why it's an ultra marathon is not because it takes very long or it's very arduous. It's because it's an adventure. Okay, something that's so incredible about these things is it's, you know, it's not much that can really happen in a sprint. It's like, boom, and then it's over. But in these kind of things, you can never really, in an ultra mountain event, you can never really be 100% prepared ahead of time for what's going to happen and what you're going to encounter. It's so unpredictable. And part of the attraction is the adventure of what's going to happen. Am I actually going to make it to the end? And that's where the adventure lies. And in the kingdom, it's an adventure with the Lord when we're running with what he's got for us and with our eyes set on him. Okay? And when we stay in that race, it's going to, most of the time, you're not going to really know what's coming next. But it's important for you to know that God does know, that he does see, and that he's 100% in control. Okay? And almost want to encourage you to be excited and expectant for the unexpected. I realized just a journey that I'm busy going on with the Lord at the moment is, you know, I realized that when I first started running the race with him, you know, there was always this excitement of what adventure awaits next. You know, it's like that. Talks about us being like little children, and little children are like that. They wake up in the morning and they're like, what adventure are we going to have today? It's all about the next adventure. Okay, but then as we grow older, you know, then we want to kind of figure things out, and we like things to be a little bit more predictable, and then we wonder how we're going to provide for the adventure, how are we going to get to the adventure. Okay, whereas the kids, they just get excited about the adventure. And I'm coming back to that place of being a bit like, I don't know if you guys know the cartoon Pinky and the Brain. Yeah? So it's like these two mice, and the one's Pinky, and the other one's Brain. And it always starts off where Pinky says to Brain every day, Brain, what are we going to do today? And Brain always responds, same thing we do every day, plan to take over the world. All right. Okay, and Lesby really knows, likes it very much. And that's a journey that I'm on with the Lord where it's really not about how's this day going to provide for me? How am I in my calling? Am I not in my calling? It's just, Lord, what are we going to do today? How are we going to take over the world for your kingdom today? And just waiting in that excitement expectation for what he's about to do. And I want to encourage you, if you didn't come last Sunday and you haven't listened to the sermon, to actually download Leona's sermon just about that place of really walking in the Spirit and walking in that adventure that awaits for us when we're walking in the Spirit. And this message of stay was actually birthed from a place of not wanting to stay. And it was a place of really, Lord, I actually don't know anymore. That place of you singing the songs, you know the word, you're speaking it, but you begin to wonder, how real is it really? And you begin to wonder, Lord, is it really worth it? Is what we're doing, is it really worth it? There's so many people that still need to hear the gospel. So many people that still need to be saved. Like, I can't, how, what, like, why? And I'm like, Lord, you know what? I can't even do anything to save the people. Like, what's the point? You know, I can't do anything. Only you, Jesus, can save them. So and I'm like, Jesus, why don't you just come down and save everyone? Like, you know? And it was this silence, and then he just said to me the following. He said, because I've chosen to reveal myself through people, and I've chosen to reveal myself through you. And he was just stay with me. Just stay with me. Stay with my plan, and you will see my glory. And that was it. That was settled. And that's what I want to say to you tonight, is the Lord has chosen to reveal himself to this world through each one of you. He's chosen and decided that he wants to reveal his love through each one of you. He wants to use each one of you to pray for people for healing, to share that word that of encouragement. But you must just stay with him. Okay. That's what you need to do, and it's just such a privilege. And it's not about, what we do is we sometimes get stuck on the results. It's not about the results that you see. Don't get stuck on counting how many people came to church that you invited or how many people actually got healed that you prayed for. But it's just stay with them, because it's about the relationship. And we sometimes get ourselves lost on the results. The Lord is after that place where we're like, yes, Lord, I want to reveal you, Jesus, through my life. And probably the first thing that I want to share, just in terms of encouragement and staying, is the Song of Moses. Can we have that next? It's so important that we know how big the God is in whom our faith is. And Moses is a man who really, really knew this. Okay? Moses probably came the closest of all the people in the Bible to seeing what the disciples saw when they saw Jesus dying on the cross and resurrecting. I mean, that is probably the most glorious thing you could witness ever. And Moses came very close to that through what the Lord did to deliver a whole nation from the Egyptians, parting the Red Sea. And if you actually go read the story of Exodus, you'll see that it's a shadow actually of Christ coming and being the sacrificial lambs, that we can pass through the Red Sea and be delivered and saved and set free. And Moses was able to witness this. Moses was, in fact, God's instrument in this. He was the one who went to Pharaoh, and he was the one who held up the rod to part the sea so that the Israelites could pass through. And what's, I think, the most important here is not so much everything that happened is obviously very important, but that Moses remembered what God had done. And I believe that he wrote a song, and I believe he regularly, daily sang that song and remembered. I actually want to just go to that song. It's in Exodus chapter 15. And I want to read it because, and I want you to listen carefully. I don't have it on there. I just want you to just listen. Because it's important that we know how big our God is. This God is so big that he just breathed and the waters parted. And I want you to try this at home. Take a porridge bowl of water and just breathe on it and see how much the water moves. Okay, that's just a porridge bowl of water. You won't even be able to part that. If you do, it means you've got a really good lunch. You must start running. All right. But he's so big, he just breathes, and an ocean parts. Let's see what he did in Exodus chapter 15. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubbles. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue and overtake them. I'll divide the spoils. I'll gorge myself on them. I'll draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. The place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. The Lord reigns forever and ever. This is a God for whom nothing is impossible. And Moses knew it. And that's why Moses could stay with God all those years. You know, if you want to know someone who had it tough, it's Moses. He was 40 years in a desert with a people that moaned and groaned day and night. But yet Moses stayed with God from the beginning. First time when the Lord appeared to him in that burning bush, he stayed with him. When Pharaoh kept refusing to let the Israelites go, Moses stayed with what God was doing. He took them through the Red Sea, and in the desert, Moses stayed with what God is doing. When Moses went up onto the mountain 40 days, he stayed with God and heard what the Lord had to say. And that's where he got his strength and his capacity to love the Israelites, to love the people he was leading, and to continue leading them all that time because he stayed with God. And what's interesting is God, and it's again that thing, God doesn't actually talk about his results. It says, well, it does say that he was of the greatest prophets that ever lived. But it says that he was a man that knew God face to face. God actually called him his friend. And it's again that thing where, because he actually fails right at the end. He has a little rock and water test. But because of the staying, he had that place where he knew God face to face, and that strengthened him, that gave him the endurance and the faith. You know, there was not a water crisis in the desert. There was a memory loss crisis. The Israelites had forgotten and they'd stopped singing the song of Moses. Moses didn't need to build a desalinization plant. He threw a stick into the water and the Lord made it drinkable. I actually believe the Lord can cause, I've started praying that, the Lord will fill up dams from the bottom. Doesn't need it to rain down, but the Lord is after our city's hearts. and we cannot forget who our God is and how great he is and get caught up in the narrative of how strong is man. You see, man is trying to save himself. But yet, the Savior has already come. And salvation is only through the cross of Jesus Christ. And I believe the Lord wants to show that salvation to our city. I don't think we're in a desert because of global warming. I really believe the Lord is after the hearts. And we need prophets, prophetic voices, who will stay with what the Lord is doing, who will remember the song of Moses, and who will sing it, no matter how bad things look. Some of you need to go home and you need to write your song of Moses, of what the Lord has done in your life. And you need to sing it. You need to sing it in your closet. You need to sing it in conversation with your friends. You need to sing it at work. When everyone's woes, what's happening, you need to be able to know inside of you. And it's something about a song is more than just something that is a speech, because a song is something which is in the heart. It's something which is really, it's settled in your spirit. It's become a revelation. And you need to be able to continue singing it, because we have to declare the greatness of our God. In Matthew chapter 17, it says, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed grain," which apparently is very small, I've never seen one, but it doesn't matter. I've seen our God and how big he is, and that's the most important. "You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And often when we look at this, we look at the size of the mustard seed, and we're like, oh, I need little faith. But it's not about, this is not about the size of the mustard seed, the size of the faith. It's about the size of your God. You see, if I have to take Emilia, okay, and we go outside here in the street, and we mark off 100 meters, and we put Emily and Usain Bolt next to each other. You get a 1 second head start. Even with a 1 second head start, it takes a lot of faith to believe that Emily's going to win. So Emily, you're an amazing singer. We all have our different gifts. All right. But it doesn't take much faith, even with a 5 second head start. No, I'm sure you're not that. You're quick. It doesn't take much faith to believe that Usain Bolt's going to win. Why? Because we know how big and how fast Usain Bolt is. When you know how big your God is, you pray for the dams to fill from the bottom up. Okay, you don't need rain. All right, you don't need much faith for that. When you see that he's the God who parted a Red Sea and walked it. I mean, just imagine going and standing. I said this morning, I was actually wondering where we would walk to. It's everywhere around. It seems very far away. Just go stand on in Sea Point on Bloberg Beach or Musenberg Beach and just imagine, just try and imagine for yourself the ocean actually opening up and a whole of South Africa walking to, I don't know, where shall we walk? Australia, no. Mauritius. All right. Okay, South America. Maybe not the Arctic. I don't like cold. I think we must walk north towards the equator where it's warmer. But imagine us walking. I mean, this is not small. And you need to take time out to actually meditate on how big your God is regularly, because we also suffer from memory loss. Go and write down your testimony and write your song. The second thing for staying in this race and staying with what the Lord is doing is to wrestle with the cross narrative. Okay. We need to regularly ask Jesus, what exactly happened at the cross. And it's something. It's sometimes we come to salvation and then we move on to all sorts of things and church and discipleship, and we need to take that time out to really the message that I'm giving of the gospel, the good news. What is it? What did Christ really do for me? Do I really know? Is it real in my spirit? Do I have that revelation for myself? Do I know in my spirit that the message I have is good news? Am I fully convinced? You see, you won't be afraid to share the gospel if you're fully convinced in your spirit that you have good news. You know, we so easily and easily just go with popular sayings or just go with what people say or what authors write, okay? But we need, like the Apostle Paul, and to go and sit at the feet of Jesus and let him make it real to us. The Apostle Paul says, he wrote the gospel, the Romans and Philippians and Galatians, where we see incredible revelation of the salvation, of what happened at the cross. But the Apostle Paul did not get that from the Bible. He did not have the Bible. He went and sat at the Lord's feet. In fact, he says, I did not receive this revelation from man. I received it from Christ. You know, some of the things, sometimes we just say stuff. Like, I was thinking, you know, I was going through something recently. I was wrestling with something we often say with, in a way to, I think there's a good heart behind it where we don't want to be judgmental, but we say we're all just sinners. Just like the world, we're all just sinners. Yes, it's true. We all were born into sin and we have all sinned. But those that have been saved by the grace of the cross of Jesus Christ, we stand righteous before the Lord. Do you know that you are righteous before the Lord? We are victorious. We have a heavenly feast with the bridegroom that awaits us. We have hope. We have life. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. Yes, we were. We did sin. But we're not like everyone else. We are now alive. And don't make little of that. You need to know, I'm alive. I was dead. I'm righteous before the Father. I'm royalty. You need to know that what you've got is good news. Okay, but there's a place we've got to wrestle with it, and I think that's why Paul regularly, you see in Ephesians and Galatians, him praying that the people would be enlightened and that they would receive that revelation. And I'm going to pray for us afterwards that we may receive that revelation in our spirits.
So much. She's precious.
And so what I want to leave with you, the second thing, so the first thing was it's not how big your faith is, it's how big your God is. And the second thing I want to leave with you, guys, is don't base your hope on a bumper sticker gospel. Then you're going to struggle to stay. When life gets tough, you start wondering, Okay, don't base your hope on a bumper sticker gospel. And then the last key that I want to give you is live on earth and in heaven. Says in Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now, this is the important bit. And raised us up together and made us sit together, this is with Christ, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are, but we're also in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in the Spirit. And we need to live from that place. And we need to ask God to help us to see from that place. That's something I've been doing recently. And again, you know, this is almost like a follow-up from Liana's sermon last week. I get Liana's sermon on praying in tongues and on living from the Spirit. Okay, I was in a place where I really felt stuck with what I was doing. I was like, Lord, am I really even making a difference with what I'm doing, with what you called me to, with my work and stuff? And, you know, what? It's not like we're seeing people coming to salvation every day. And, like, is something really happening? And what had happened is I'd got so caught up in the earthly side that I'd almost come down from that heavenly place. And I was living from down here only, from earth only. And, you know, when you're living from in the natural only, you can only see what has already been manifest in the natural. But there are promises that the Lord has for you, for your family, for us as a church, for our nation. And there are things that the Lord is doing in the Spirit, stuff that's happened, but that has not yet been manifest in the natural. And if you're just living from what you're seeing already manifest, you're going to lose hope. And you're going to struggle to stay with what God's doing. Or what you see is not going to necessarily make sense. Okay? Because I think we know sometimes even when the Lord has promised things, we sometimes see things getting worse before we see the Lord coming through to reveal his glory. Okay, the Israelites are in the desert first before they enter the promised land. All right? But if you're looking from that place, seated in heavenly places, you have hope because you see what the Lord is doing from where he's looking. Okay? But when you're living from here, all you just see is, but there's nothing going on. There's nothing happening. Where's this revival? Where's our country going? Okay? And the Lord, I spoke to the Lord about this. I was like, Lord, help me. I want to see. I want to be seated with you. I want to look from where you're looking. And he actually gave me an instruction. And sometimes the Lord gives us simple instructions. It's the simple instructions that are the important ones I'm beginning to learn in my old age. Not the big fancy ones. It's those little ones. And all he said to me, Kathleen, every day before you go out to coach those kids, go walk around the fields and pray in the Spirit and trust me to lift you up into that heavenly places that you can begin to see from where I see. And I started doing that and I'm beginning to see things just from a whole different perspective. But I think also the most important thing that I've noticed, and it's so interesting this, is the heart shift. The heart is in a different place. And I think when we're in that place, when we begin to return, because we were, but sometimes we kind of somehow leave. I don't know. It's probably not theologically so cool, but it's kind of happens. It's the best I can explain it. When we begin to return to that place where we're seated in heavenly places in Christ, we're in Christ, we begin to receive the heart of Christ again. Our hearts begin to be aligned with Christ again. And that's when things really begin to change. You see, it's where's your heart aligned? A lot of the things he gives us to do is just he's shifting our hearts. You see, Moses' heart was aligned with God. Israelites weren't. That's why he could go strong. All right? And we need to trust the Lord for that. I remember it was 2-3 years ago. My mother was very ill, and she was in hospital in ICU. And she was really from the east to the west. And it looked like there was no hope. It really didn't look good. I mean, we were at the point where we were trying to get lawyers to help us with the fact that she had a living will. Someone convinced her to sign a living will, which basically means, like, if they're on machines or stuff, then, you know, the living will says switch off. But then we actually found that there is a clause that says they can only switch off if there's no hope. Yes, and I prayed the Lord about it, and the Lord said to me, there is hope. He's going to heal her, and through that, it's also going to have a big impact on our family. But I could not see it. I mean, you walk in there in the day, and you just see this person lying there, and you can't imagine in the natural that things are going to improve or change. But the Lord had spoken to me, and he took me at that to see from where he saw. And I saw that she's going to be well. And what I then began to do is I did not stand on what I saw in the natural. I began to go to that hospital and stand at her bed. And I said, I call forth the manifestation of what I've been promised in the spirit to manifest in the natural. And I began to pray for what was in the spirit to the promise to be manifest in the natural. And that I would see it. And I called it and I spoke it. Spoke it. I prophesied it over her. Began to prophesy over our family what this healing was going to do. And we saw it. We saw the healing. And that's what we need to do, is we need to, when we look around us and we see, we were in praying in Long Street the other morning, and it looked like, just, I mean, how? But as we were walking, the Lord showed me in the spirit how he was calling forth these angel armies and how he was fighting for the city. And that gave me hope. We need to look from where he's looking, because that's going to give us hope. And that's going to give us strength and endurance and faith to stay with what he's doing. Otherwise, we're just going to want to get in that bailer's bus like I wanted to do a month ago. Don't want to get in the bailer's bus, okay? You want to cross that finish line, victorious, okay? And at times, you're not going to know. It's not going to make sense. You're going to be so confused. You're not going to know, but just stick with God, okay? I always feel so bad for the people that support me in these ultra things, because they get like this very neatly packed little box package with snacks and emergency things and instructions in the morning. But normally when I arrive at them, then I don't know what I want. I want something else, and shame. Then everything's changed, but they just stay with me. And that's all they need to do. They know they must just stay with me. All right, and we just need to stay with the Lord. And I want to close with a scripture, which I hope will encourage your hearts to stay. And it's a scripture from Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 19. God is in control, guys. And he's coming back. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's you guys. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Eagerly, excitement. Lord, what are you doing today? Wait for for it with perseverance. We stay with what God's doing. Okay. And I want to just stir our imaginations as we close. The Lord has given us an imagination for a good reason, to help us to hope. We need to imagine the promises that He's given us. Okay, something the Lord made me recently do is actually go and something that I'm dreaming of. He said to me, Kathleen, draw it and stick it in your wall closet and look at it every day. And it's got a big sticker above it that says, this is impossible for me, but it's possible with God. And I imagine it in my imagination, and that stirs up my hope that it can be real. Okay, and I want to stir your imaginations, and I want to say hope in the God who is so big and who gave himself for you, that you can sit here today, royalty. So I'm going to show a little clip, but as I show it, don't just watch it as a movie or a race. I want you to see the nations standing there ready to begin the race of salvation with the Lord. I want you to see that is revival waiting to happen. I want you to see the nations poised for the encounter with the King, poised for the coming of Jesus. And as they begin to run, I want you to stir up your faith. You don't need to stir up faith. Just look to God, because God can make it happen. God can save Cape Town in one day. He can. And we need, but we can't believe it unless we are focused, reflecting on who God is and singing the song of Moses. And unless we know how great our salvation is, okay? Nations beginning to run the race. And for me, this is just such a beautiful picture of what revival looks like. Just the nations being unleashed. But what I also want you to really focus on is the people along the sides. That is the angels, and that is us cheering them on. That is us discipling them, walking that road with them, staying with them through the highs and the lows. We have such an important, exciting role to play. And it's going to be an adventure. All right. So let's, I just hope this will just stir you to begin to pray in faith again and to stay. We're going to in a moment pray for our nation. But before we do that, I just have to just offer the opportunity, probably the most important opportunity tonight. And that is that opportunity, to actually come to that place of knowing the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And I want to just, if every eye is closed and our believers are praying, I just want to ask the important question, which I cannot leave unasked, and that is, do you know Jesus? Do you have a cross narrative? Do you know the saving power of the cross? Have you received the forgiveness at the cross? Have you received the life which Jesus has come to offer? Can you say, I hear his voice. I know him. He knows me. I've been reconciled to him, to God, through the cross of Jesus Christ. Only one way to come to God. It's not through church. Yes, we talk about God at church, but to really know God like Moses knew God face to face, there's only one way, and that's through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And the invitation there tonight is here tonight to really come and receive that forgiveness, to receive the new life. So I just want to ask, if there's anyone here tonight, you have never been to the cross, you've never come and said, Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender. I repent of my sins, and I receive your forgiveness, and I receive the new life you have for me. I want to know you. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to be in relationship with you. If you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ tonight, then the invitation is here. Or maybe you were in a relationship with them, but you did not stay. You walked away. Then I want to invite you tonight. We want to pray with you to return to that place where you truly know Jesus. So if there's anyone like that here tonight, I just want you to, I cannot leave this moment. I just want you to just indicate, if there's anyone like that here tonight, you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can just look at me or you can just lift up your hands that I know. Awesome. Then I want to pray for us as his saints. I really want to, before we pray, I want to pray just strength over you. So I want to pray endurance over you and pray faith over you. And the first thing I want to do is really just pray that you truly will know how great is your salvation. And you can just, in your heart, you can just respond as we pray. Our Father, I just want to pray Ephesians over you. I pray that you, Lord God, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in all knowledge of Jesus. I pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of our calling in Christ. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And Lord, I just pray for us tonight, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see what you see. That you would open up our hearts to feel what you feel. Lord, we don't want to live from a place, Lord, where we just rely on man, man's abilities, Lord God, but we want to live from a place, Lord God, where our trust is in you. Lord God, we want to be like Moses, Lord God, that when there was no water in the desert, Lord God, the Israelites, they turned to him for help, but he knew to turn to you. He knew that you are the one who could bring that breakthrough in the desert, Lord God. And Lord God, we want to come and release our voices to begin to speak your greatness in over the city, to begin to declare your greatness over this nation, Lord God. Release the prophetic voices in this place, Lord God, to declare your promises. We speak a release now in Jesus' name. Lord God, lift us to that place where we are seated. Those of us that have left that place of being seated, you, Lord, we cry out to return to that place where we're sitting with you in Christ, where we're living from heaven. We're living for the future glory, for the future hope of the redemption of creation, Lord God. And Lord God, come and take our hearts, Lord God. We just surrender our hearts to you, Lord God. We want our hearts to be aligned with your heart, Lord God. Lord God, come and awaken our imaginations again, Lord God, to truly see the promises that you've given us, Lord. Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, just for the restoration of hope tonight, Lord God. I pray for the restoration of those that have become weary, Lord God. I just pray for your endurance, Lord God. Lord God, I pray for lamps that have become empty, that are empty, Lord God. The Holy Spirit, that you come and fill those lamps with oil to overflowing once again. But I pray, Lord God, that we would be a people who know who our God is. And who know how big our God is. That we would be a people whose king is not a king of this earth, but whose king is you. We want to be a people who live according to your ways. We seek you, Lord God. And our heart's cry tonight is that you, Jesus, would once again be king of our nation. And I want us just to turn in groups, and I really, let's pray for the promises the Lord has given our nation. Let's pray for the hearts of our nation to turn to God. Let's pray that Jesus would once again be king of our nation. Let's pray for those in our nation who have forgotten, who have memory loss, who have forgotten how great our God is. And let's really stand in the gap.